chasing rabbits, and you know you're going to fall. Tell them our hookah, smoking caterpillar, has given you the call. Call Alice when she was just small.
Alice's Adventures in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll. Read by Gary.
Are you to get in at all? Said the footman. That's the first question, you know. It was no doubt, only Alice did not like to be told so. It's really dreadful, she muttered to herself, the way all the creatures argue. It's enough to drive one crazy. The footman seemed to think this a good opportunity for repeating his remark with variations. I shall sit here, ribbit, he said, on and off for days and days. "But what am I to do?" said Alice. "Anything you like, ribbit," said the footman. "Oh, there's no use in talking to him," said Alice desperately. "He's perfectly idiotic." And she opened the door and went in. The door led right into a large kitchen, which was full of smoke from one end to the other. The Duchess was sitting on a three-legged stool in the middle, nursing a baby. The cook was leaning over the fire, stirring a large cauldron, which seemed to be full of soup. "There's certainly too much pepper in that soup," Alice said to herself, as well as she could for sneezing. "There was certainly too much of it in the air. Even the Duchess sneezed occasionally. And as for the baby, it was sneezing and howling alternately without a moment's pause. The only thing in the kitchen that did not sneeze were the cook and a large cat, which was sitting on the hearth and grinning from ear to ear."
"Please, would you tell me?" said Alice a little timidly, for she was not quite sure whether it was good manners for her to speak first. "Why your cat grins like that?"
"It's a Cheshire cat," said the Duchess. "And that's why..."
"Pig!"
She said the last word with such sudden violence that Alice quite jumped, but she saw in another moment that it was addressed to the baby and not to her. So she took courage and went on again. "I didn't know that Cheshire cats always grinned. In fact, I didn't know that cats could grin."
"They all can," said the Duchess, "and most of them do."
"I don't know of any that do," Alice said very politely, feeling quite pleased to have gotten into the conversation.
"You don't know much," said the Duchess, "and that's a fact."
Alice did not at all like the tone of this remark, and thought it would be as well to introduce some other subject of conversation. While she was trying to fix on one, the cook took the cauldron of soup off the fire and at once set to work, throwing everything within her reach at the Duchess and the baby. The fire irons came first. Then followed a shower of saucepans, plates, and dishes. The Duchess took no notice of them even when they hit her, and the baby was howling so much already that it was quite impossible to say whether the blows hurt or not.
"Oh, please, mind what you're doing," cried Alice, jumping up and down in an agony of terror. "Oh, there goes his precious nose," and an unusually large saucepan flew close by it and very nearly carried it off.
"If everybody minded their own business," the Duchess said in a hoarse growl, "the world would go round a deal faster than it does."
"Which would not be an advantage," said Alice, who felt very glad to get an opportunity of showing off a little of her knowledge. "Just think of what work it would make with the day and night. You see, the earth takes 24 hours to turn round on its axis."
"Talking of axis," said the Duchess,
"jump off her head!"
Alice glanced rather anxiously at the cook to see if she meant to take the hint, but the cook was busy stirring the soup and seemed not to be listening, so she went on again.
24 hours, I think, or is it 12? I,
oh, don't bother me," said the Duchess. "I never could abide figures." And with that, she began nursing her child again, singing a sort of lullaby to it, and as she did so, and giving it a violent shake at the end of every line.